This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A shooting in York County, Pennsylvania. Police say three officers who were trying to serve a warrant are dead. Two more are critical. The shooter's dead.
Dave Miller lives across the street.
I heard the gunshots, many, many gunshots, and I saw an officer go down on the road.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro joining authorities.
We grieve for the loss of life for three precious souls who served this county, serve this Commonwealth, and serve this country.
ABC's Whit Johnson. Susan Manera is the former CDC director who was fired by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. testifying on Capitol Hill today, saying she was sacked because she wouldn't pre-approve vaccine recommendations without scientific evidence. Thousands of Palestinians fleeing Gaza City as the IDF continues its operations targeting Hamas. As expected, the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates a quarter of a percentage point. This is ABC News. Tropical storm Gabrielle has formed in the Atlantic, far from land. Break out the Cherry Garcia. There's bad news for Ben and Jerry's fans.
Ben's ice cream just doesn't have the same ring to it, but that may be where we're headed. Ben and Jerry's co-founder Jerry Greenfield says he's quitting the brand because it's clear parent company Unilever won't let the company stand behind the social justice issues that were a stipulation of the sale of Ben and Jerry's back in 2000. Greenfield says it comes at a time when civil rights, voting rights, and the rights of immigrants, women, and the LGBTQ community are being attacked. On X, he writes, Ben and Jerry's has been silenced for fear of upsetting those in power. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The National Toy Hall of Fame has announced its 12 finalists for the class of 2025. They include Battleship, Connect Four, Slime, and Trivial Pursuit. The public can vote on which toy should be enshrined at the museum in Rochester, New York until September 24th. Winners will be announced in November. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Angels squaring off again tonight at American Family Field with Brandon Woodruff against LA's right-hander Jose Soriano. The Brewers with a great performance last night by Freddie Peralta cruised to a 9-2 victory, the magic number now 7, to clinch the Central Division. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the 0-2 Browns in Cleveland Sunday. Game time at noon. Concern for Zach Tom and Aaron Banks getting back on the offensive line. Wide receiver Jaden Reed had his surgery yesterday to repair his broken collarbone and fractured foot. Former Packers quarterback Sean Clifford signs with the Bengals after Joe Burrow had surgery for his toe injury. Vikings running back Aaron Jones now on IR with a hamstring. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers back home Saturday against Maryland. Kickoff 11 a.m. at Camp Randall. And women's college volleyball, Mimi Collier named the National Player of the Week after Wisconsin swept both Milwaukee and the Georgia Bulldogs. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Feel like spending Christmas in Las Vegas? I'm sure the town would love to bring tourism back, and hopefully Mariah Carey's new residency will help. Mariah Carey's Christmas Time in Las Vegas will kick off November 28th at Dolby Live at the Park MGM. Carey will perform 10 shows that will conclude on December 13th. Do you think she'll sing All I Want for Christmas? If you're looking for a road trip, tickets go on sale September 20th. Sydney Sweeney continues to diversify her resume with her latest role being a maid. The Housemaid stars Sweeney alongside Amanda Seyfried in this dark psychological thriller. The story follows Sweeney's character, who is fresh out of prison and who is hired by Siegfried's character and her handsome husband and becomes close to the attractive couple. Pretty sure this isn't an adult film, but who knows? The Housemaid will drop in theaters December 19th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
$14.90 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy, isolated storms tonight, and a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, still the chance of rain, high in the low 80s. More storms around Friday, high low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend.
Right now it's 73.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brittany Merlot will tell us how long our season of summer will continue. And the Brewers continue trying to wrap up their division. J.R. Radcliffe with more. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We're going to have Arvina Martin on later in the show today of Emerge Wisconsin, talking about some political things here, as we usually do with her, with Emerge Wisconsin. But I want to start off first right away that this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org. And I am really excited to have our friend Barb Fabre on. And Barb is a CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise, and she's an enrolled member of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation in Northwest Minnesota, and she is residing. Always great to have you on. We have a lot to talk about, and you know, I just love talking about your Indigenous boxes too. We're going to have to talk about that later on, but welcome, Barb. Great to see you.
Bonjour, welcome. I'm so excited to be here, as always. And I think I learn just as much as you learn when we talk, because we just take it in so many different directions, but it always comes back to our how to benefit children and families in our tribal communities.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, we have a topic today about Indigenous Partner our Parent Leadership Initiative, and that's IPLI, and it's expanding statewide. Let's talk a little bit about that. Can you give us a little overview about Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative?
Sure. One of my favorite subjects to talk about. So a few years ago, while Indigenous Visioning entered a partnership with the National Parent Leadership Institute, and out of Connecticut, it's a curriculum that is owned by the state of Connecticut. And we wanted to bring their curriculum to a tribal community because I met many of the graduates and alumni, and it was amazing. And so I knew I wanted to bring it to tribal communities. And so through a grant by the state of Minnesota, a community solutions grant, we were able to do that. And we did that were, let's see, three cohorts ago. So in 2022.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What motivated your team to create this program? And other than the obvious, it's got to be a lot of work, but it's also got to be a good thing for our communities.
We were super excited to bring this. So, but we knew we had to indigenize it. So when I came back to Minnesota with this information, I went and seen Dr. Anton Troyer. And he was excited about it too. And I asked him to help me create a cultural component for it. So, and, you know, it was really intriguing. And so we were so appreciative of our partnership with NPLI that they allowed us to indigenize it. And we were able to weave a cultural curriculum braid it with theirs. And so it's a 22-week free program for parents, free. The mission of the IPLI is to guide parents in becoming leading advocates for children, right? This initiative inspires parents, and I've met many of them, and we've witnessed it, to be empowered to use their voices to be a change agent, to be a role model, and just positive change within their own individual lives, which ripples into the children's lives and then eventually into the tribal community, their tribal community.
Wow, so really?
It's an amazing program. Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. And, you know, I maybe you can remind everybody, and I know and you know, how important it is to include cultural aspects for our young ones. And, you know, we know that for generations, a lot of that's been lost, and it's coming back in gangbusters, I feel like, in the last decade or so, Barb.
Yes, I'm shaking my head. Yes.
And they left that on the
exciting
radio.
Yeah, I know. So I thought I better share. Totally agree. You know, and from early childhood on up, you know, we did it in childcare, and then Head Start does it, preschool, and then a lot of public and private and tribal schools are offering it, K-12, and of course, tribal colleges and some university and state. So yeah, it's exciting to see that. And so we know that culture is our protective factor, but it's also our healing factor. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that that had to be a part of it. And from what we learned from the three cohorts, that's exactly what one of the best things they love about this curriculum is the cultural component.
Well, in your opinion too, those are unique strengths that our Indigenous parents and grandparents and caregivers bring to the communities, but also to the young ones that are in the community.
Oh yeah,
She's shaking her head again.
Yes, I am. Sorry, Abbott.
No problem.
And I also talk with my hands, but nobody can see that. But Robert, I mean, if we're going to, you know, who are the children's first teachers? Are the parents? And so, you know, we spend a lot of funding on our teachers. You know, now we need to spend more on our parents and help them become, you know, their child's best advocate. So that's what this program is all about, basically.
Right. You know, you're empowering parents now, and that benefits the children and in the wider community, correct?
Yes. many of our graduates have gone, you know, they're on committees, they're using their voice through committee work. They're on, you know, local, state, national advisory boards, committees, and foundations. There's a few on the foundation, and they're just really empowered to use their voice. And the 22 weeks that they spend together, and they learn skills through the curriculum, and it's through a cultural lens, through the Indigenous cultural curriculum. And so, you know, it's very, and every graduate or every parent that comes, they have their own personal passion. So whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when they find that passion and they have these skills, then they know how to use them. And, you know, we've got some great examples of how parents, the cohort parent and alumni parents, use their voice.
Well, let's talk about that in the next segment here. Hey, this is the episode is Native Roots Radio presenting in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio. Little Moments Count, and we are with our friend Barb Fabre, and you are CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. And we're going to be right back after this short break, Barb. Ho wa.
Ho wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. And Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focus on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. And I'm here with Barb Fabre, and we're talking about a little about Indigenous Parent Leadership Initiative and all the great things that are happening. How does this, welcome back, Barb, and how does this program grow and expand? Are there avenues that you're working on or that are coming about here soon?
Yes, yes. So we are really excited that the state of Minnesota is offering an RFP coming up in the late 2025, early 2026 for four tribal nations, our tribal organizations to apply to become an IPLI site. And we will be providing technical assistance and coaching to those four tribes. So we're really excited about that as we gear up for our fourth cohort this fall.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And you're expanding. And how is some of the funding coming? I know you talk about the state, but there's other foundations that are supporting your work, correct?
Yes. We actually have a few national partners, and that funding is going to help us support capacity building by expanding to the other four sites, and then as well as helping our alumni with professional development. We have one foundation that is supporting our alumni work. Our current funding, more recent funding, I should say, we got that to expand statewide and even outside of Minnesota. So we're kind of piloting it here in Minnesota and working with the National Parent Leadership Institute on that. And so we're really excited and appreciative of the funding. And again, this, what people are excited about is because they also met the graduates. Yeah. They are the shining stars of this program. And they can speak for themselves on how it has affected their life. And so we're putting together a little
video?
Story, kind of, yeah. We don't know what quite it'll look like, but we're really excited that it's, we're just in the talking stages of what that is, how long it is. It'll probably end up on YouTube, but we'll definitely share that out when that's ready.
Well, that's awesome. You know, how does Indigenous Visioning support these new IPLI sites with coaching and technical assistance? Or tell us a little bit about that. And then there's also a 8-week program for families that with open or active cases. Can you explain a little bit about that too?
Sure. So the 22-week program is for parents who are, in stable housing, are people who have maybe been sober, a year, stable for a year. And over 18 is the requirement, is all. So that one, is 22 weeks, and it's a big commitment. And that those, so those are for communities. That is what the four sites in Minnesota that we'll be giving TA to. And the TA that we'll be providing is just to help them get started. We're working out all the details with NPLI right now, so I don't know, have all the details, but they'll become a site just like we did, and then we'll help the TA and coaching will be doing on the Indigenous Foundations curriculum, how to create their own, how to work with in tribal communities on creating their civic design team. And so, there's a lot of groundwork, and that's what we're going to be helping with. And so they'll be following that. The 8-week program is we're looking to pilot that. And that is for families who still have an open case and are unable to commit to the 22-week. So it'll be maybe like the teaser of the 22-week. And hopefully a feeder program into the 22-week. And so we're hoping that these four sites, continue on. And, each cohort, you're building out a larger group of IPLI superstars.
Yeah, that's no doubt. And I think we've been talking for like 3 years, you and I, on and off, haven't we? And just the growth and the things that that you're doing, with Vision Indigenous Visions, is just amazing. And I can feel it across the airwaves here, your sincerity and how you are there for the community. It's just been, it's been great to watch this grow and change. And I want to, just before I get into my question about indigenous boxes, because, you know, I'm always curious about those. I would really love for you to, in the next couple minutes, talk about what you'd like to talk about with this great collaboration you have going on, and all this great work that's going on, you know?
Yeah, it really took on a life of its own, and in a good way. You know, and that's because a lot of dedicated All Nations Rise staff and board, mm-hmm. And our partners that are, you know, wanting this work to happen because they witnessed it like we did. And so, you know, we're excited for each of the tribal communities and how it'll look. And ours looked our way, but as you know, all tribes are different, beautiful, unique. And so every tribe will make it their own, and we will just be there to guide them, and however that is, because it is for the community, by the community. So, you know, the community leads it, and that civic design team, they help lead it. It's an advisory board that kind of helps guide the work. So, yeah, it's really exciting, and I'm really excited that we're a part of it, and you know, working with the state and our foundation partners. Yeah, I'm excited to see where this is going, and for other communities to witness it and hear from their own cohorts.
Right. Well, the gratitude that you must feel with all the people being on one page and working for this goal is just tremendous feeling of the work that you're doing. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you too, before I start grilling you about those boxes.
I was going to say, not without a few hurdles, but, you know, yeah. Just keep focused.
tell me a little bit about the importance of evaluation and best practices, because I know as a former teacher, that's, for me, that's a huge, huge statement.
Right. Well, if we want programs to be able to use this and sustain it, they need to be able to use it with their state or federal funds, or their private funds. And so, you know, and those are usually require evidence-based. Well, in Indian country and tribal communities, we know how well that works. You know, we're not there yet. And so, you know, we're trying to be very respectful. A lot of tribes now have their own internal review board, their IRBs. So anytime something comes into the community from an outside agency that wants to do something inside, the beauty of this is it's the community doing it for themselves. We're just the guides in the process. So it's the community creating it, and we're just guides. Again, so, you know, it is really going to, I think, take tribal communities to another level. And we're just really anxious and excited to see the results.
Wow. Barb Fabre is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise. Thank you so much for your check-in here, as always, with this episode of Little Moments Count, which is a partnership of Minnesota Public Radio. And gee, we didn't have enough time, but I'm still waiting for one of those indigenate boxes to show up to my house.
Oh, that's right. It's in the mail. I promise.
Right on. We'll see you next time. Thank you so, so much for coming on.
All right. Take care.
Hey, up next, Arvina Martin. Hey, Pini Gigi. Up next, Arvina Martin of Merge, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News. I'm Dave Macker. A shooting in York County, Pennsylvania. Police say three officers who were trying to serve a warrant are dead. Two more are critical. The shooter's dead.
Dave Miller lives across the street.
I heard the gunshots, many, many gunshots, and I saw an officer go down on the road.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro joining authorities.
Grieve for the loss of life for three precious souls who served this county, served this commonwealth, and served this country.
ABC's Whit Johnson. Susan Manera is the former CDC director who was fired by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. testifying on Capitol Hill today, saying she was sacked because she wouldn't pre-approve vaccine recommendations without scientific evidence. Thousands of Palestinians fleeing Gaza City as the IDF continues its operations targeting Hamas. As expected, the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates a quarter of a percentage point. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Angels squaring off again tonight at American Family Field with Brandon Woodruff against LA's right-hander Jose Soriano. The Brewers with a great performance last night by Freddy Peralta cruised to a 9-2 victory, the magic number now 7, to clinch the Central Division. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the 0-2 Browns in Cleveland Sunday. Game time at noon. Concern for Zach Tom and Aaron Banks getting back on the offensive line. Wide receiver Jaden Reed had his surgery yesterday to repair his broken collarbone and fractured foot. Former Packers quarterback Sean Clifford signs with the Bengals after Joe Burrow had surgery for his toe injury. Vikings running back Aaron Jones now on IR with a hamstring. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers back home Saturday against Maryland. Kickoff 11 a.m. at Camp Randall. And women's college volleyball, Mimi Collier named the National Player of the Week after Wisconsin swept both Milwaukee and the Georgia Bulldogs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. A nice assortment of films are opening this week in theaters. Afterburn stars David Bautista and Samuel Jackson. The story takes place after fire destroys Earth's eastern hemisphere and a treasure hunter sets out to find the Mona Lisa, but realizes that he needs to be a hero and save much more than just a painting. I have to say I'm intrigued, but there are no reviews in yet. Two films open wide that involve sports. Him is a horror film produced by Jordan Peele about a young athlete manipulated by an old pro. And The Senior stars Michael Chiklis as a 59-year-old former high school football player who returns to the gridiron to rectify history. It's rated PG and there are only 7 reviews in, but they are all positive so far. Sounds like a feel good. And if none of those titles grab you, you might want to check your local listings as Apollo 13 is being re-released in a limited run. If nothing else I mentioned is to your liking, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and Tom Hanks as an astronaut might be just what you need. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Mostly cloudy, isolated storms tonight, and a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, still the chance of rain, high in the low 80s. More storms around Friday, high low 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend.
It's 71 right now.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times writer Victoria Davis, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins us to update us on everything Wisconsin sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, the executive director. Arvina Martin is the first Native person ever elected to Madison, Wisconsin's Common Council, and was elected vice president in 2020 by her peers. Arvina is an enrolled member of Ho-Chunk Nation, and I don't know if I should even mention the Stockbridge Muncie. I might just move on that. But no, and we're proud to...
Stockbridge fam!
We are really proud to have Arvina on and talk a little bit about what's going on politically and, of course, what's happening with Emerge, because as we've found out over the years of having Arvina on, Emerge is a powerhouse in Wisconsin and are winning elections, and just sign up and we'll talk more about that a little later. But Arvina, welcome. We're in upside down world. I wanted to just bring this quick thing up that I didn't text you about earlier, but I just saw by WPR, because we have MPR for Minnesota and I guess you have Wisconsin PR, but this Van Orden guy is an amazing person because of two things. I heard nationally on a radio show this morning that he has two Facebook groups, one of them as a political person and the other one's personal, and they don't match up with what he's saying to his people and also to his constituents. And he's lighting the fire, and he's also wants to put a bill out there that would cut off federal funds when employees celebrate political violence. Does that mean the president too? I
wonder if that would qualify. I mean, certainly I'm sure he would think it would qualify if it was a Democrat in office. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Yeah. So again, we're in the upside down world again here. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about, I believe it's getting a little frightening out there, especially with free speech and the way things are twisted around now. We talked about the assassin, and now more has come out, and there's things that the Republican Party doesn't want to talk about, and like the origins, or talk about his family, talk about all the guns they had in their house, and then also that real right wing group that he's involved with. They want to talk about the liberals as being bad people, but I feel like this assassin is in a super right-wing place, and it was put out there before they took it off their website that 75% of these mass killings, one should be started with January 6th, but 75% of these are from white males from 18 to 35, 75%.
Yeah, and actually, it came out that the Department of Justice, as in the U.S. Department of Justice, just removed that study from their website. The report basically found that right-wing extremists have killed more Americans than any other domestic terror group. The study opened with, since 1990, far-right extremists have committed far more ideologically motivated homicides than far-left or radical Islamist extremists, including 227 events that took more than 520 lives. In that same time period, far-left extremists committed 42 ideologically motivated attacks that took 78 lives. You're right. This is scary. I'm worried that we are going to be seeing this kind of removal of factual information from governmental websites, and not just like at DOJ, I'm afraid this is going to be happening under Secretary Kennedy, them just removing studies that have been published that hurt their cause, that are correct,
And have, you know, passed the muster in terms of, like, is this study a, you know, a solid one in terms of, like, the research terms, you know, things that, that make a study a good one, which I'm blanking on at the moment, I'm sorry. But, like, making sure you have, like, a decent sample size, you know, correcting for bias and things like these, and then just either not publishing, not sharing that information, or not, or taking it down. And that is going to have real implications to our everyday lives. You know, like, I mean, this is kind of changing the subject a little bit, but, you know, it sounds like Secretary Kennedy is really looking at changing the children's vaccine schedule, basically based on vibes. And right. not allowing any of the science to be shown or anything that says he's wrong. And we, you know, it's scary to have a conclusion and then watch them create studies that lead to that conclusion rather than creating studies and making policy based off of the conclusion of those studies. You know, that they're going to make us less healthy. You know, they're going to make us less safe. You know, I think that for a lot of people hearing that, you know, right-wing extremists comprise the largest portion or largest percentage of extremist violence in the United States, for, you know, a good portion of the country, that's kind of a, yeah, I know that. I have eyes. I've seen this. But then for another segment of the population, it's no way. You know?
Well, they're bowing down. I mean, I'm upset with CBS, the Smithsonian, MSNBC, all these, you know, thank goodness you come on our station here, because we're not owned by eight companies own 95% of the media, and not here on AM 950 or Civic Media across Wisconsin. So we're blessed to be able to talk freely and not worry about any backlash or anything. But I just can't believe that, you know, these media and people like that are bowing down to this misinformation. The Washington Post, which, you know, isn't owned by a nice person anymore, but they fired somebody that just quoted what Charlie Kirk said. And, you know, there's people, teachers that are worried, you know, help.
Help. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, we have the vice president and the attorney general, you know, basically encouraging Americans to narc each other out over their Facebook posts to their employers so they get fired. Yeah. You know, and
free speech, yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's scary. But we also have the vice president, like, he hosted the most recent episode of the Charlie Kirk podcast and was talking about going after organizations that are nonprofits that lean to the left, that don't do what he wants them to do, and going after them.
Right. And how far is he going to go? Because I'm really shocked on how far they have come already and that people haven't stopped them, because people like think that Trump's stupid. But there's also people in his administration that know that are pushing him in certain ways, because he can't come up with all this stuff. He's not smart enough, but they do. So that's a thing that frightens me a little bit, is that there are people that work for him that do know what's going on and that are a little smarter. And so we have to be talking about this like we do and be vigilant about not accepting these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it keeps going. You know, the attorney general also talked about hate speech and coming after hate speech. And to people like perhaps you and I, hate speech would be something, you know, targeting you know, queer folks, maybe trans folks, people of color, you know, things, racism, etc. But that doesn't qualify. That's not hate speech to her. That's just a matter of opinion. That's free speech. But, you know, restating, like literally quoting quotes from Charlie Kirk can get you in trouble somehow.
Free speech from only the Republicans works. I got to just say this, I got to bring this up real quick before we get back into it. I am just thankful, and I don't know what the temperature is in Wisconsin when it comes to vaccines, but like general counsel's happening for our tribe this Saturday, and I'm lining up for my vaccines. You know, they give the flu shot and COVID, and thank goodness our tribe is still on it and not bowing down to these turkeys.
Absolutely. I am unable to get to general counsel this year. I'm going to a wedding for a friend in Colorado. So I will not be at general counsel, but I always get my vaccinations at general counsel. It's super easy. It's really awesome that the nation provides that service for us. But I was nervous about, you know, potentially not being able to access or not having insurance pay for a COVID vaccine. And, you know, this, we're talking about me, a person who has been described by friends as the outbreak monkey, because I tend to get every illness that passes by. So I'm all about getting all of the vaccinations I can. I've gotten a pneumonia vaccine a couple weeks ago. I waited for the new COVID vaccine, and I went to my CVS pharmacy and got it with no problem. So I encourage everybody to go quickly. In case it gets taken away from us or they don't allow it, especially for your kids.
Yes. And older people too. That I guess I'm older, but for everybody, but you know, you have
really elders.
Not junior elders like me.
Yeah.
The baby elders. You have Florida making it an option, but really that means they're not going to support it and the insurance companies don't have to support it.
Yeah, I mean that, and that's a really big implication. I saw somebody said that went to get their COVID vaccine, and they were told that their insurance didn't cover it, so they had to pay $140 out of pocket.
Oh my God!
I mean, how many people can afford that? Like, that's a lot of money, and it's not okay. You know, I know I've mentioned this before, but I got COVID before we had the vaccine, and I was out of commission for months.
Unbelievable. You know? We'll talk a little bit about that again in the next segment and talk about the great work you do at Emerge Wisconsin, because I really love what you're doing in the community and how you're fighting back. And we need that more and more. And so it's really always great to have Arvina Martin on, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wa.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
After 20 years of service, the Metro Blue Line is ready for essential improvements. A multi-year transformation is on the way, bringing a better, smoother Blue Line experience. Renew the Blue will preserve and protect a critical piece of our infrastructure investment, helping it remain a safe, reliable, and affordable transit option for many years to come. Learn more about Renew the Blue at metrotransit.org/renew-the-blue. Metro Transit, Renew the Blue.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season,
The market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And Arvina, I would like to really dig a little deep into Emerge Wisconsin, what's happening now, and remind our listeners out there, for maybe the first time they're listening to the show or they're in their car, just how successful your organization has been, but also nationally how successful too. So let's talk Emerge. Ho-wa.
Yeah. We last weekend had our first of a series of trainings that we call Step Forwards. It is an hour long training that it basically helps someone get to the point where they are making the decision to run for office. So we talk about things like preparing yourself, preparing your family and your friends, your network, for you to be in a campaign, things about, you know, choosing the right office to run for and the timing of your run. And we are as the organization are going to be putting on a few more of these. We've actually got two more scheduled, wow. One on the 29th and one on the 30th. The one on the 29th is being hosted by the caucuses of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And the one on the 30th is hosted by Blue Sky Waukesha. And we are really looking to get people engaged to think about running for office and thinking about them, just trying to make the decision with as much information as you can. So when you actually declare your campaign, that you will be ready to go, 10 toes standing down, ready to take on this challenge, because a political campaign requires a lot of work, especially if you're the candidate. You know, you basically all of your free time or all of your non-working hours are dedicated to the campaign. And so preparing yourself for that and making it easier on yourself, on your family, is really important. We're getting ready for those. The one that we had last weekend was really successful. We had folks across the 3rd congressional district join us for that initial training.
That's very cool. I got to tell you this, Arvina. I don't know who I was talking to. I think today or yesterday. When you're a baby elder, these days melt together. So I'm not sure. But I was mentioning you and Emerge, and they were blown away by what you're doing. And I guess, until you've been on our show and I heard about you, I think you've been on the show for about 4 or 5 years now. I did not know anything that was out there like that for people starting out to be a candidate. So kudos to you. And I know there's alumni. You want to talk a little bit about a few of the alumni, including yourself?
Yeah, in Wisconsin, some of our alumni include Sarah Godlewski, who is the Secretary of State. She's the former state treasurer and announced that she's running for lieutenant governor. Another newly announced candidate is Jocasta Zamarripa, who was the first Latina woman to be elected to the state legislature. She is currently serving on Milwaukee's city council. And I believe she's also the first openly bisexual person elected to the state legislature. And she is running for Secretary of State. Both of those women are incredible. If you kind of zoom out and consider alumna of Emerge from other states, they include Deb Holland. That's who I was going to say. You just put up the sign. Deb Holland did emerge, and not only was she in Congress, and not only was she Secretary of Interior, but she was the chair of the Democratic Party of New Mexico. And so, you know, I met her before I got like super involved. And, you know, as soon as I saw the work she was doing, I was like, I am a fangirl of this woman who I didn't know existed 5 minutes ago, because she's just incredible. And we have alumna like her all across Wisconsin, serving in offices from school board all the way up to state senate, and you know, Department of Public Instruction head Jill Underly is another one of our alumna, and you know, we're really I can't wait till we can say that we have our first Emerge governor, first Emerge congresswoman, senator, you know, that we still have a lot. There are a lot of firsts to come in Wisconsin. And I'm hoping that Emerge Wisconsin trains as many of those firsts as possible.
What I really like too, Arvina, is I might get this number wrong, but last cycle or last two cycles, what was 15 Emerge candidates and 14 won, something like that? Correct me.
I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but of the spring elections last year in 2025 and the fall elections, our alumna won at a rate of 90%.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we already have several of the women from our last class that have announced campaigns for 2026 or will be shortly announcing campaigns from 2026. You know, I'm really hoping that our class of 2026, our applications are open right now, but I'm hoping that we get some of those, some more folks that are going to be running next year, and we'll give them the tools they need to get elected.
Yeah. This is exciting, and this is you must be excited because this is a way to fight back. You're doing something. You're not getting stuck on, like a lot of us, including myself, get stuck on social media, and think that everybody feels the negative way, but there's a positive way out there, and it's exciting to see your work and what you do and what Emerge Wisconsin does and Emerge all through the United States here.
Yeah, I mean, it reassures me. You know, I am the kind of person that never feels like I'm doing enough, so then I keep taking on responsibility so I can do more, and then I run out of time to do everything. But you know, I'm really grateful to be doing this work. Not only because it's great to be able to do something that, you know, you are interested in doing in order to make money as opposed to doing something you hate. But like, it makes me feel better about my effort to make things better. You know, there are so many ways, and it's so overwhelming for I mean, I would say that it's almost universal, if not universal, that seeing these attacks on freedom of speech, et cetera, and it's so big. What do you do?
Right.
And I feel happy being able to contribute by helping elect more women who are going to fight against this.
fight back. Like you just said, okay, we got less than a minute. Please give out your information.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. She calls herself the wild card in Wisconsin's race for governor. State Representative Francesca Hong is our guest on getting into the race and the Brewers update as well. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Soaring high above LaCrosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX LaCrosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. As expected, the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates by a quarter of a point today, and the central bank telegraphed two more interest rate cuts before the end of the year. Former CDC Director Susan Manares fired by HHS Secretary RFK Jr., telling a Senate committee today she was fired because she wouldn't approve vaccine recommendations without scientific evidence and wouldn't agree to firing top CDC officials without concrete reasons.
I could have kept the office, the title. But I would have lost the one thing that cannot be replaced, my integrity.
Manera is saying that public health in the U.S. is in a tenuous position. Three police officers dead, two others in critical but stable condition after a shooting in Codorus Township in southern Pennsylvania. The shooter's dead. No more information at this time. And also in Pennsylvania, a man is in custody after he drove his car into a metal gate. It happened at the FBI building in Pittsburgh early this morning. This is ABC News.